Marvin Johnson, that's pretty much his theme. You shake hands with him, say, how you doing? He says, better than I deserve, and you know it. That's a great attitude to have. We all should have a little better attitude like that. Well, mission conference is starting Wednesday night, and we're going to start it off with a bang. We're starting off at 7 o'clock. I'm going to say a little bit about missions tonight as we go to Luke chapter 24. And we got some missionaries that's going to be with us, and we got some good things planned. So, folks, start off with us at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, then 7 o'clock on Thursday. Then we're going to wrap it up on Sunday. And again, we need to ask God's blessing, be praying for it, especially praying for it. Luke chapter 24, I'll probably start reading around verse 30. I'm going to kind of give you the context to keep from reading too much. But resurrection has happened, and Jesus has quietly and mysteriously appeared and walked with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He was hearing their talk. They were down in the dumps. I pick it up in about verse 21. They're talking to this stranger that's joined them. It says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They didn't understand. They were complaining, disappointed, no doubt about it. They go on to talk about some of the ladies had been to the tomb and said it was not there. And then the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, I think we all fit in that category pretty big. We read it, we say we believe it, but sometimes I wonder if we do. I know the election was a disappointment to us. We all were sort of like these disciples. They're walking along and they said, we trusted God was going to use Jesus or this man they crucified to redeem Israel. Some of us trusted God was already using Trump, and he did use him and greatly used him in these last 3 or 4 years above what we could expect. It's an amazing thing that he would pick a man like that and yet get done with him what he did. And yet we hoped another 4 years maybe would even be better. I think it would have been. I fear what's coming because they want to retaliate against us. They want to continue to hurt the church. You see, the churches, the evangelicals, they call us, voted heavily for Trump. And quite frankly, if you just kind of look which crowd was for him and which crowd was against him, that tells you a lot. That really, really does tell you a lot. And it looks like it's pretty much a done deal. I don't hardly see a pathway. Unless God really mightily intervenes, I don't hardly see a pathway for it not to happen. And I do expect retaliation. I do expect the churches to hurt from persecution. As cleverly and as slyly as they can do it, I'm expecting that. It's probably going to happen. But these disciples didn't understand Jesus had a bigger plan. We might not understand God has a bigger plan. We better be careful. The Lord is still in charge. And maybe the time is shorter than we think it is, because maybe we thought we had another 4 years. By the way, I'm going to cough just a little bit. If you attend my funeral and you want to be sure I'm dead, come by the casket, and if I don't cough within an hour, I'm gone. Amen. But don't be surprised if I don't cough a couple of times before they get through, especially if the preacher's long. All right. Playing around with you a little bit. But so just forgive me that. I'm about as healthy as I've ever been, which isn't saying maybe too much. But these disciples didn't understand. They were talking with Jesus, the resurrected one, God. And sometimes we just don't know what God's got in mind. So let's trust anyway, amen? These disciples were complaining. Finally, he goes home and sits down and breaks bread with them and reveals himself. And then as we get near the end here of the chapter, they're now trying to explain to the rest of the disciples. And so we pick it up in verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do you thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now that there's a lot right there in that verse to speculate and think about. We think of a spirit being sort of a cloud floating around, a smoky thing. No. It's pretty solid what he's talking about right here. Very solid. Some of us that love to eat like we do, we worry about, what about eating in heaven? Well, I don't know, but Jesus came back and ate some fish and honeycomb after the resurrection, so all the joys won't be necessary to change that much, amen? But anyway, think on this a little bit. Now, as we move on deeper in here, he reveals himself to them, and they couldn't believe, hardly stand it for their joy, but then we get down to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. When he was walking around in the fleshly body, now he's resurrected. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And hey, there's interesting. It's about, you can find Jesus all the way through the Bible. In the Torah, the first five books written by Moses, we speak of it as the law, and then the prophets, and then the Psalms. Oh, yes, he says, concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. Now, we talk about missions. We find out here that the Lord says, this is the message we got to get out. That's still the same challenge that he left. We still face it today. It is still the main duty of the church. You know, I think about this pandemic thing and the election and all that. And yes, churches are going to be hurt, which means the missionaries are going to be hurt. But you know, that's happened before, and we made it through by God's grace. We'll do it again. And it's my opinion that missions is so close to the heart of God that we shouldn't let that suffer. It'd be a temptation sometime to pay the local bills, maybe with a church, and say, well, and missionaries can tell you this, Brother Williams, I'm sure you know this. When a church starts cutting, almost one of the first things that gets cut is mission support. I really think it ought to be one of the last things. I mean, and really far as the burden of getting the message out and doing what the Lord told us to do. Now, he's given instructions here, and we think about it. In a sense, this was the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you understand? We put a lot of emphasis. I've heard it said, you've heard it in the movies, well, he wouldn't be lying because he was dying. Well, I don't know so much about that. But what they're saying is a dying man's word carries a lot of weight. That he'll probably tell the truth for sure because he's fixed to face God. But you know, the last will of the Lord Jesus Christ was take the message around the world. Go to every creature. That's what he's saying to us here. And so this thing we call missions, he says to go in verse 47 here, he said all nations. Scotty, that's a big plan, isn't it? Brother Scotty Drake will be helping us out here in the mission conference, and he's going around the world and giving his life here to get the message across. And the good news is it's working. Souls are being saved all around the world. Good things are happening. And we got to keep that up. Let me just say a few things about missions. To begin with, the maker of missions is God himself. Adam didn't seek God after he fell into sin. God sought him. God came to him. Understand what I'm saying? God went after Abraham, called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, didn't he? So God was the missionary. God sent Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go. But God made him willing to go, amen, after he took a ride in the whale. And the truth of the matter is, God is the maker of missions. That's God's heart to get the message out around the world. And the motive for missions, well, it's that motive was found in the heart of God. Genesis 3:15, Adam's fallen into sin. God has come on the scene in the cool of the day. He's called out to Adam and Eve. He's having to pronounce judgment because of sin. He's condemning the serpent there. But he tells in the midst of that a promise, and that is the promised seed, that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent's head. And you know what? God's motive was to find a way to get man saved in spite of what he had just done. And that's still God's motive today. He still wants to get the message of love out. Somebody said, who loves sinners more than God? Nobody. Who loves sinners before God? Nobody. You understand that before Christ, and you check it out today, you find the pagan religions, you find the other false religions all over the world. They're not religions of love. Islam is not a religion of love. Islam is a religion of force. Getting heads chopped off, honor killings in the family. The most awful things in the name of religion is done. And the difference is that the true Christian gospel is the gospel of love, because it originated, the motive for it was in the heart of God, and that motive was love. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's missions. That's what it's about. And that's the truth we need to understand. Paganism is so cruel. I've read some things and know some things, and it's an awful thing. I think it was Cecil Nice that was our missionary for years. He was a New Tribes missionary going into where there'd never been a white man in the deepest jungles, and the awful things he'd have to tell us, and some of the films that he would show us. Anybody remember? Now, we're talking about the old type films. They were not as modern as they are now. But he wanted to get an airplane into the jungle where he'd been ministering by himself. And he had written home to the States for some help, for some clothes and stuff. And people had sent him stuff. And he showed us a film how he paid the natives for helping to clear a piece of jungle where the plane could land. And it showed these warriors out there with long ladies' dresses on. He said, if they knew what I'd done to them, he said, they were so proud of those dresses. But he said, they were working because I was giving them stuff, and they were proud. He said, if they'd have known that I had women's dresses on, I might have been in a heap of trouble. But he got the job done. He got it cleared. He got the airplane landed, and he got a lot of souls saved. But he tells some of the hard things that the pagans did. For instance, when he went in there before he got there with the gospel, awful things they would do. One of the things were where their relatives died, they had the family to give eternal life to those relatives that had died. They had to strip the meat from the bones, take the bones, crush them up into a powder, mix them a little bit with water, and then they had to drink that mixture of their relatives to let their relatives, so to speak, go on living through them. And can you imagine how awful that was? But if that was the only thing they'd been convinced of to have eternal life. And when he got the gospel to them and they began to get saved, his first name was Cecil Nice, and they said, Cecil, you mean we don't have to drink this no more? He said, you don't have to. Oh, they were glad. They didn't like to drink that stuff. So many pagan things out there. But when the gospel, when you know the truth sets you free. And he and other missionaries have told us of the horrible situations that that happened. And yet the last thing on the heart of the Lord Jesus here was send the word to all the nations. Send it around the world. That was it. And there's awful evil out there. Jesus knew of the evil. He knew what sin was. You know, today we're somewhat sheltered, not only in America. America's gone very evil in so many places, especially the big cities. But in a church and in a community like this and in our county, we are probably still a little naive about how awful things really are out there in so many places. And we want to be naive to it in a sense, but we want to know that since we got the answer, we got the responsibility to get that answer to them and free them of what the devil has entrapped them with there. Amen? No, our motive ought to be the love of God in our heart and to get the word out that you can be saved out of that stuff. Man, as Cecil, the missionary there, was telling us how relieved they were to find out some of the things they were having to do that were so awful, they no longer had to do because Jesus had paid it all. Oh, what a difference to understand the truth. And to get saved, not only their soul saved in the future, but to get saved out of that mess, that falsehood, that stuff they were entrapped in. Do you know the same thing right here in our country? There's a lot of people. Yes, they went through our public schools, and a lot of them got misled there to the place they need the gospel as much as the pagans do in the jungle. I was reading just recently where transgenderism is being taught in kindergarten classes, grade school classes, and the whole message is it's not bad. It's good. You want to check this out. You might be transgender, and they're brainwashing a lot of kids into claiming something they know nothing about, and a whole bunch of foolishness. We've seen the same sex restrooms and all that issue. It's still out there today. It is an amazing thing. Saw a lady that wrote a book, and she was high up in prestigious circles. She wrote a book, and they banned it here. And all she was exposing was that young girls, especially young girls, were being brainwashed into thinking that maybe they were lesbians because of the curriculum that they were being taught. That's in America. That's not in the jungle. It's the jungle of a classroom that teaches that sort of stuff. And if a teacher's doing it, it's a pagan teacher and a pagan staff or authority over her that's causing her or him to do it. Folks, yes, we need the gospel sent around the world. We also need it sent around the block. We need to get to the crowd that is closest to us also. Many of them being very, very deceived. They need to know they can be saved out of that stuff. I think about God being the maker. He had the right motive, the love in his heart. And then we think about the methods. And you and I are part of the methods of getting the word of God out. Every church is to either go or send. We've had them out of our membership go. We had Brother Mullins here recently. And we got Brother Morgan on the field. And we named so many that have sat right here in the pews. And now they've been on the mission field for a long time doing the work of God. But at the same time, we're sending. That's what it's all about. We're sending missionaries around the world and getting the job done. And it's not. I don't think it's ever been easy, but I fear they're gonna make it harder now. In a lot of ways, they really are, and that's too bad. Our methods is still go. Somebody said Jesus said go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said go, and lo, I'm with you always. But he did not say go and lo. He said go and lo, I'm with you always. You know, low gear is your slowest gear in a car. It might be the most powerful gear, but it's the slowest gear. Generally, overdrive is your fastest gear, and we need to get the job done because time's running out. We need to be in overdrive, getting the job done. The methods is to go or to send. We must be a going church. That's what we do with our buses. We go. Soul winning, we go. Sending missionaries, we're going. That's what it's all about, and that's God's plan. You see, somebody said you can't bring the world to Christ No, but you can take Christ to the world. And that's what we're doing with missions. And that's the plan. Take Christ to the world. I do believe time's short. I don't know. I get so sick of the news just like you do. I keep up with it just as much as I have to. And I sure have been sick of it of late. But even in the midst of this election stuff, there's some bad talk going on. There's some talk about war with Iran and missiles. And it's talking about China's got some real plans for us militarily. And there's some very... And those things are going to materialize one of these days, and we never know. Things happen pretty fast anymore. And our job is to do what we're told to do. We're not necessarily supposed to sit around and speculate on everything. We're supposed to stay active. We don't have to bury our heads in the sand. We can see what's going on. But our main job is still our main job. And it's still getting the gospel around the world, around the block, and around the world. You know, it's a fearful time for some of these things that may break loose. I don't know, but I do know this. We're still, don't change our marching orders a bit. Don't change our command to go into all the world a bit. We're still supposed to do it. Romans 10 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, we could say, how shall they hear around the world without the missionary going? Now, once the missionary goes, and Brother Drake can tell you, and Helps Ministries can tell you, the plan is not only to send an American, but that American reaches others, and then they keep reaching others. And that's what goes on in the mission program. That's God's way of doing it. I don't know, but I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, we're all going to see some folks telling us, thank God you sent. I'm saved because... somebody came to my place. Oh, there's some stories that are just tremendous, tremendous stories of how God acts and how sometimes a missionary even came home from the field thinking he'd done no good and then find out later one soul that he won a whole village or won a whole people to the Lord. Those stories are bountiful. You hear them from all the time. But if time is short, then our big motive is to get the gospel out while we've got time. You know, we'll be a sending church and a giving church, or we'll be a dying church, one or the other. You've heard me tell it many times. Artist that was enlisted to paint a picture of a dying church. And he painted that picture, but lo and behold, it was a nice building, a manicured lawn, and people said, no, we want you to paint a picture of a dying church. He said, you didn't look close enough. He said, you see there in the lobby, said, you see that box? It's got missions written on it. They said, yes. He said, this is a dying church because you see that spider web over the top, no money has been put away. None's been sent. That's a dying church. We don't think about it that way, but God may think about it that way. Oh, the wonderful truth is that I want to be a living, sending, obeying God church. Amen. We are that. I've told you this before, but Brother Randy Smith can remember this. Years ago, we had to renew the mortgage, church mortgage. Thank God, that's history now. God is blessed. But we had to sit with the high financial people, around several of us around the table. And of course, they were looking at the bottom line. All right, we'll loan you this money. It's going to be a payment like this. It's going to be an interest rate like this. And they were looking at whether or not we could handle that. And they were looking at our finances, and one of the men spoke up, one or two of them spoke up and said, well, and he was referring to the mission gauge. He was referring to how much that year we had given to missions. And he made this statement. He said, well, you got that in reserve. Now, here's what he meant. If you're getting a tight, you can take some of that. And Brother Smith, you'll remember I had to correct him on that. I said, I believe that'd be the last thing we'd touch. Because that's real to us. That's obeying God. That's what God wants us to do. I believe by that attitude, God has blessed us through the years, and we've stayed financial stable, and even here in this pandemic, God has blessed in a special way for us. And I just believe you can trust God to take care of you when you're obeying Him and doing what He wants you to do. You know what? I see the methods. We are part of those methods. But then I see the message, and of course the message is victory over sin. You know, man tries to pay for his sins in so many ways, so foolishly. I think maybe I've shown the video here many years ago, probably did. Down in the islands, various places, they reenact some things around Easter time in the religion they're involved in. They don't believe in repentance, they believe in penance. There's a big difference. Let me give you a little scriptural difference between repentance and penance. Peter, after he denied the Lord, repented. But Judas did penance. He went out and killed himself. Do you understand that there's a religion that teaches penance? Teaches you get forgiveness of sins by trying to pay for them yourself, by shedding your own blood. And I've shown the film here where people being misguided, mistaught by that, would do, mutilate their own bodies, trying to get pay for their sins. In the Philippines and some groups and other places, I've seen them on the special religious holiday or the religious day, take homemade whips, sort of like the cat of nine tails they beat Jesus with, strip off and whip their own bodies with those little pieces of steel and glass until they just stripe and bleed and then just bleed and a mass of blood walking down toward the ocean. And then groups of them walk out into the ocean, like, increasing their pain with the salt water into those wounds. They're doing penance. They're paying for their own sins. They can't do that. They've been misled. What a wonderful thing to get the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awful. See, it happened that way. You know, I remember, and some of you college students, a few that are here, I remember when I was in seminary and got a hold of I believed in missions, started giving faith missions not too long after I was saved, as soon as I had the preacher preach about it. And so I would read a biography or stories on the missionaries. And I remember getting a book by a missionary by the name of James Chambers. And I remember reading how he went into the heathen tribes where all this awful stuff that they practiced. And I remember him saying he reached a lot of souls. He really did a great job, and I think was finally killed on the mission field. But he was sitting in one of the, what we'd call a teepee or hut, straw hut. And they had the fire built in the center, and he's in there trying to reach the people. And while he's sitting there, he realizes something is dripping on him. And he looks up, and what he sees is a wrapped up body being smoked over the fire. And the juices was frying out of it and falling on the missionary. Awful. But see, that was part of their paganism, to give eternal life to a relative that had died. And you think about what our message is compared to a message like that. I mean, we know the gospel means good news, but brother, I mean good news above what you and I can imagine. The freedom that comes in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the truth of the matter is that it'd be a shame if we kept that kind of good news to ourselves, wouldn't it? We can't do that. Yes, we got to send it around the world and around the block. And I want you to be faithful to the mission conference. I know you've been through a lot of them. Well, another mission conference, yeah, but it's still special. It's still the first command. It's still what is close to the heart of God. Make an effort to come out. Pray for it. You're already giving to it. Give more if you can. But ask God's blessing on it. You know, I don't know if you think about this. Of course, I'm getting older, so I think about it. I think about sometime, am I doing this for the last time? Could be. Could be. Could be the last mission conference, couldn't it? Could be the last time to make a commitment to the Lord. If it is, I want to do it. I want to do it right. Amen. And let's take that attitude toward our mission conference. I want to challenge you. Let's do that. And let's start off at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. It would start off with a bang. But you can start off tonight by praying for it. I don't know what the weather's going to be. Maybe it's going to come a little rain and clear up. Maybe it's going to be raining that night. I don't know. But the commission God gave us is not go if it's not raining. But to go on all the world, it's not qualified. We need to do it. We need to do it. Somebody says, well, what is this thing of Christianity? I just get saved and go to church? No, there's more to it than that. You get saved, you grow in the Word, and the more you grow in the Word, the more you go to God's house and learn, the more you find there's things you can do to get the gospel to the rest of the world. And I challenge you, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's get off to a good start. All right, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, it's a Sunday night. Our crowd is down. The holiday has taken its toll. But Father, maybe some listening in radio land tonight can make a new commitment to do more. Father, we pray for the mission goal that'll be set. We pray to reach the one we're still trying to reach now. We pray for our missionaries around the field. And Father, how urgent it is as the times seem to get worse. Help us, Father, to make all the haste we can, see the seriousness of it, and do everything that we can to get the gospel. Father, there's people in America and around the world in bondage to awful ideas and false religious things they've been told. Father, our job is to get the truth out. Father, it was close to the heart of the Lord Jesus. May it be close to our heart, for we ask it in His name. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to have an invitation. Maybe God's asked you to come and pray at the altar tonight. Maybe you're new to this thing of giving to missions. I don't know. Be a good time to make a commitment to the Lord. Amen. You come as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
I still clearly remember when I first heard the preacher talk about giving to missions by faith. I had not been saved long. Just about the time that Sonia and I were getting married, I was still driving my race car every week. And I remember the preacher talking about just commit by faith. You don't have to sign your name. Just trust God for it. So I wrote down on the mount on the card. Didn't understand all of it, but I wrote down on the mount. And I thought, you know, some weeks I was flush, I'd win the races. Some weeks I wrecked the car and I had to go in debt to get it fixed. I mean, it went up and down. And I guess the devil lied to me like he always has and said, oh, you know, you give that to God, you win all the races now. What a liar he is. And I remember, I don't know if I wrecked the car or what, but I remember when the time come to give the money, I didn't have it. Not going like I'd planned. And I remember fighting that battle in my mind. Well, I just can't give what I don't have, but you know what I did? I gave it. I took it from something else, from the parts money or something else, and I gave it. I'm sure glad I did. I've been giving it ever since. I don't really believe it's supposed to depend on our circumstances. I believe it depends on what our heart has got in first place. Amen. And I certainly do believe God blesses, but we don't give to get blessed. We give because it's right. And it's what we're commanded to do. I know of a fellow said, I promised God I'd tithe, but then he didn't do what I wanted him to do, and I quit. I said, what'd you want me to do? Well, I wanted a Cadillac. You're going to trick God? You're going to deceive God? You're going to outsmart God? What a mess of thinking that goes on sometimes. He literally did say that to me, that he wanted a new car. You've heard me preach sermons and say, all right, you've done so-and-so, and you didn't get that pink Cadillac. I don't know where the pink come in. But no, you do it because it's right, because it's first place, because it's the thing to do. I guarantee you, standing before the judgment seat, it won't be about the car you got or didn't get or anything else. Be what that motive was. Well, we're looking forward to starting off the mission conference, and so that'll be great.